Hare Krishna. Last few days, maybe week, I've been reading the part of Prabhupada Lilamrita where Satsurup Maharaj is summarizing Srila Prabhupada's history, or actually ISKCON's history, with book distribution. Not sure. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is involved, but it doesn't go back to pre-ISKCON times. And this was also printed by the BBT under the title Little Book, called Distribute Book, Distribute Book, Distribute Book. I've been reading Prabhupada Lilamrita for months now. And I've just come to this portion and allowed myself to immerse in book distribution, history, narrations, katha. And this morning I translated a little for the Hungarian devotees. The Sanctan party is back here at New Bridgetown for the weekend. And so we gave class on the importance that Srila Prabhupada put on book distribution, on the personal sacrifice that he made to write these books, distribute them, and how despite all the other important projects that Srila Prabhupada personally managed in ISKCON, still book distribution remained the top priority. I just reached that part of the opening of Krishna Balaram Mandir where at the conclusion of the ceremonies, Prabhupada invited the Uttar Pradesh state governor was present. There were 1,000 devotees from all around the world, other dignitaries, the local Brijbasis. So many people had attended, and Prabhupada had spent a fortune on hosting all of his guests. And Prabhupada said, as much as I've spent on both this festival as well as the construction of this temple, still book distribution is more important. And so Srila Prabhupada stressed so much, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. I told a story which is connected to one of the cloth merchants, at least the father of one of the cloth merchants in Vrindavan, when Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan. Of course, he became well known and would have his regular schedule of parikrama, going to the market to shop, and then cooking. And of course, in the meantime, he was always writing. Anyway, one of these merchants, they really wondered, was Srila Prabhupada really all that he appeared to be? Because there were so many sadhus in Vrindavan, or so-called sadhus, who wore saffron, who appeared to be something, but in their private lives were much different. They kept women and smoked biddies, or took even other types of intoxicants. So, and Srila Prabhupada, of course, was talking about his mission, talking about his books, talking about how his spiritual master wanted him to preach in the West, and how he wanted to do that, and was preparing himself to do that by translating Srimad Bhagavatam. So this gentleman wanted to really see, is this really true? Prabhupada, everything that he's made out to be, he appears to be. And so one day he followed Prabhupada back to the Vamsi Gopal Mandir, so he saw where he was living. And then, unbeknown to Srila Prabhupada, he came on several occasions, once in the morning, once at midday, and once at night, always at different times, thinking that he'll really find out what's going on here, and he would come up to outside Prabhupada's door. But every time he did that, he always heard the same thing. And that was the typing of Prabhupada's little typewriter, tapping away. And there was no women, and there was only Srila Prabhupada. So this man could understand that, yeah, Srila Prabhupada was actually a true sadhu. He really did have a mission. He was taking this mission seriously, and he was doing what he said that he would do, which is to translate Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore no doubt he would be successful by the grace of Vrindavan to take Srimad Bhagavatam to the Western world because of his sincerity. It's a very wonderful story, but it's one of many, many wonderful stories which are connected with the history of book distribution. Some of those stories are of Srila Prabhupada. Some of those stories are about the devotees or the Vaishnavas. What was very impressive for me was how, I think it was Vrindavan Vilasini, she narrated how when Srila Prabhupada gave this famous talk, distribute book, that right then and there, she just wanted to, hearing Prabhupada's words, she just wanted to dedicate herself, her life, to distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And that was actually our sort of meditation when we used to distribute books. And it was especially so when I had the good fortune to be in Chicago and distribute books at Chicago Airport, which was one of the best and also one of the toughest places to distribute books. That this is something we used to talk about that we want to do in this life and in the next life. This was really the Sankirtan mood, the Sankirtan party. We wanted to participate in this wonderful opportunity and the extraordinary bliss that came with distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And it was so good and it was so relishable that we wanted to do it on and on and on and on. And my experience with devotees, be it in North America, in the UK, in Hungary, is that when I always ask them, whatever they may be at the present, whether it's temple president or mother of three children, or anything, and ask them, what's the best time of your life? If not 100%, then 99% will reply, when I was out on book distribution. Unless you've done it, it's very difficult to understand the taste and the wonderful mood that comes along and the blessing that comes along with book distribution and the extraordinary close connection, some kind of very wonderful connection with Srila Prabhupada that I don't know if it's available any other way or by any other service. So that those were the good memories and moods I had the good fortune to be absorbed in, and More than that, I had the good fortune to participate in this wonderful book distribution revolution in the Krishna consciousness movement when, when I was in Montreal, we were running out during Japa to get the people in the and the subway stop just opposite in the summertime. We just go out there just for that. And one would stay out till all hours of the night carrying 3 boxes of Krishna books on the bus, on the back. That's 3 times 60. That's 180 of the small blue Krishna books, and spending my whole day glorifying George Harrison. You've heard of George Harrison. George wants you to have these books, and so many other wonderful exploits that, although I've done a lot of things in Krishna consciousness, almost done everything that's doable for men, be temple president, be GBC, be guru, be a traveling brahmachari, and preaching deity worship, go on Purikram and the Dham, Padayatra in India. But the days of distributing books standing on the street in sub-zero weather and just laughing at how I was being protected from the cold, even though my hands were frozen stiff, and the wonderful Sankirtan spirit that we shared amongst devotees with this very simple ideal to just please Srila Prabhupada and distribute as many books as possible. We knew that Prabhupada was rising early in the morning. He was sacrificing his health, his sleep, to translate these books, and so our business was to try to match or try to meet up with Srila Prabhupada's sacrifice and distribute as many books, except whatever austerity that came along with it, whatever difficulties with police or the people we were trying to give the books to. It didn't matter, but when we were doing it, and those who have done it or are doing it, then they know that without a shadow of a doubt, this was the way in which, by doing this, Srila Prabhupada was pleased beyond compare. And as he himself said, there were uncountable, immeasurable blessings associated with the mercy of book distribution. Hare Krishna.